Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a cool thing. Okay. But when we look at Scripture in John, the book of John, not John, but the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Right when I started reading that verse, I heard a lot of pages moving a lot quicker. I should have given you more time to get there. It literally was just kind of quiet, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I started reading it, I just heard... Anyway, sorry. That was funny to me. But verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. And then verse 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Can anybody find the flaw in there? Or something that seems a little silly? Everybody's like, excuse me? There's something a little silly from a human perspective. It says new commandment. Doesn't that seem a little odd? Is this really a new commandment? It's not a flaw. I'm not saying the word of God is flawed, okay? Don't take that out of context. I'm just saying right away when we read that, it's the word of God, and we read it, and we're like, yes, awesome. But when we really get scrupulous and this and that, why does it say new? And now, I'm not saying question the word of God. No. That's not what I'm saying. But it's cool when we notice little things like that, and then we dive into it, the spiritual truth that comes from it. Because it's super similar to a scripture verse in Matthew that talks about love your neighbor as thyself. But this one's a little different. This one's slightly different. And when we get into the original text, because the Bible wasn't written in English, that word new, I'm not going to try to pronounce the original text version, all right? But that word, because they had really cool words back then, and language back then was way more precise. As in English, we're kind of lazy, right? But the language back then, this was talking about a reinforcement, refreshing, almost reiterating an important, reestablishing an important thing. But it's worded slightly differently, right? Love your neighbor as thyself, right? So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Now we're going from the perspective of love I have for you is not based on me at all. It's based on how he loved me. Now, it's not undoing the verse in Matthew because there is an important biblical principle about if I'm taking care of somebody, they'll take care of me and so on and so forth. That's how marriage is supposed to work, right? Selflessly. I am going to love my spouse. They are going to love me, and the cycle continues. That cycle breaks once one of us is selfish. I just unlocked a whole bunch of issues for you that you didn't even realize. That's what's been going on. That is the cycle, okay? Now, there's lots of other things that could go wrong, too. I'm just sharing that. But this love your neighbor as thyself, but now love as God loved. It's a refreshed command. I want you to know that the way that it's talking about in this scripture here is loving even when it's not reciprocated. Because in Matthew, like I said, it's not wrong, and it's not undoing what he said in Matthew, okay? But it's a different biblical principle of love in a different context. When we look at this one, it is talking about the way we love one another, even when it's not being reciprocated. That I will love even when I am not being loved. So the biggest counterpoint and attack on this kind of love is selfishness. Because the moment I think of myself, it's not being reciprocated, so now all of a sudden, this is where we get social anxiety. You're in a situation around people that are your friends, and you're doing your thing, and you're being you, and this and that, and you're contributing to the group, and then all of a sudden you get in your head like, am I talking too much? Did I do something? They didn't smile when I said that last thing, are they? I wonder if the last time we hung out when I left, if they said something about something I did, and now all of a sudden anxious, worry. And now all of a sudden, the next time they invite me to hang out, I got social anxiety. I'm not sure. Selfishness. That's an inward focus. All of a sudden, I get so caught up in myself, and it's not being reciprocated the way that I believe it should be reciprocated. And I'm not getting this love, and I'm not getting this return, and I'm not getting this. And all of a sudden, it breeds this anxiety, this worry. And now all of a sudden, it puts a halt to the love I am now showing. I'll tell you what, if Jesus, I mean, he kind of has the trump card on this one. Love was not really reciprocated to him. No, instead he did everything perfect. He did everything perfect, and he spoke truth, and he did it all, and yet he was still persecuted and crucified. But he still loved. So now when we look at love each other the way that I love you. What does that look like? What is love? God is love, yes. But I'm saying, what are the attributes? The attributes. And the counterpoint to that being selfishness. Philippians chapter 2. There's going to be a handful of scriptures that I flip through, and I might not wait for you to get there on all of them. You might want to write them down or just stay tuned for the video online later or podcast. But Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. When you looked around the room and you saw the people that were up at the altar, you're supposed to take an interest in that. Those are people that are struggling. Those are people that are struggling. What are you doing for that? What are you doing for that? Because here's the deal. We're not supposed to look at that, look at these people that come up here to the altar. We're not supposed to do that in judgment and criticism. And I wonder what's going on in their life. No, that's a gossip, junkie, whatever mindset. But to look around with love. With love. Does God look down on you where you're at in your struggle and judge? Or does he care? Does he love? And what does he do in those situations? Because when we look at that, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. It's not just about an interest in myself, it's an interest in others. And that's the way that we as a community, as a church, are supposed to be. Because this motivation of self-interest is exactly what the enemy wants. There's this really interesting quote, theological quote, that talks about Satan and his motives. His motive isn't about you serving him. It's about you serving anybody but God. And guess what? In America, the best and easiest tactic is for you to worship yourself. And every single one of us does it. And it robs us of multiple things. It robs us of helping those in need, loving the way Christ loved, but it also ruins our testimony. Because that scripture says, they will know you, the world will know you by your love for one another. But we get so caught up in ourselves and this anxiety and this struggle and this and all of this, but it's rooted in the selfishness. I just recently, I'm going to call somebody out here today in a good way. They don't know it yet. And so now there's quite a few people that just got a little uptight, which is why I said it the way I did, because it's funny for me. Sorry. But I had a phone call recently with Bennett Burke. Okay, he was down in Florida at the time because he's at the number one sports high school in America playing baseball because he's the future of the MLB. But no, I'm messing around. I always say that to him. He's going to be the Michael Jordan of baseball, just not when Michael Jordan played baseball. That's what we always say. But no, he was down there and it was before a big game and he called me. Wherever your mom is, I don't know if she's in here. She was in here. Thank you, Julie, for not answering your phone. Because normally, when Bennett gets anxious before a game, he calls his mom. At least that's what he told me. Uh-oh. Hopefully she's not listening to this like, excuse me, what? I don't get phone calls. No. No, but so he calls me. I was on the lawnmower with Farrah, so turn it off, answer the phone. I'm like, don't know what this is about. Maybe you got drafted already. I don't know. No. No, I'm joking around. But he calls me, I answer, and he's like, yeah, just a little anxious before my game. I usually call my mom. She didn't answer, so I just wanted to call you and blah, blah, blah. And we talked very briefly, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, so I just wanted to pray. And I was like, okay, yeah, prayer, right? Scripture talks about don't be anxious in everything. Instead in everything, submit, you know, all that good stuff. So he does this, but this is the part. This is the part. This is it right here. He didn't just start praying, Lord, help me with my game. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to do let me. No. First words out of his mouth were praying for one of his friends. This kid who is at a high school where if you look up a tour of this high school, you're going to lose your marbles, okay? They have like 6 pools with big screen TVs for recess. Like that's the school that he's going to. I'm not joking. Okay? I've been on the phone with him or played video games with him and all of a sudden somebody's knocking on his door. Oh yeah, that's my nutritionist. Oh yeah, that's my publicist. Oh yeah, that's my fan club. Oh yeah, that's my, I'm just kind of joking around. But seriously, this school, because you're a number one athlete in the country, everything is about you. Everything is about how can we make you better? How can we get you there? What can we do? Every moment of his every day is Bennett, 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 Bennett. The dude's anxious for his game because he was been playing like Michael Jordan when he played baseball. No, I'm just kidding. No, he was playing great. No, but he's a little anxious for his game, and the first words out of his mouth are praying for his friend. And then the next part was for another friend. And the next part was for another friend. And the next part was for his family. And the next part was for my family. He didn't pray for himself. And I'm gassing him up, and I'm bragging on him. Guess what? He's still just a young kid that doesn't know what he's doing. But obviously, he's got something going on. That his anxiety would be battled by not selfishness. Proverbs tells us those that refresh others will be refreshed. He didn't know I was going to do that today, so without his permission, I decided to do that. James 3. We're going to start in verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Because wisdom tells us, I just want you to know this, wisdom tells us that doing good works, the benefit of doing good works, is not so that I look good. That's what the world and knowledge wants us to think. But wisdom tells us doing the good work, the benefit of that, is that they got help. That's the difference. Godly wisdom versus worldly knowledge. Now, let's see if I can find my place again. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. How many times we puff out our chest and we got to talk about something that makes us feel good. I remember once early on in my marriage, we would attend our CCM ministry, headed up by Isaac. Yeah, he's back there. Okay. Making sure he was in here. No, I'm just kidding. headed up by Isaac, our CCM ministry, all right, college and career ministry. And those early days, and we were attending, and I was married, there'd be like these young bucks there. And I was a young buck, but the thing is, when you get married, you kind of just generically turn into a mediocre buck, all right? Now, to my wife, I'm the best in the world, depending on the day. No, I'm joking around. But, no, there'd be all these young bucks there. And married Brock, then all of a sudden, you'd hear one of them say something or do something, one of these young bucks. I don't know why I say it like that, but whatever. They would say something, and all of a sudden I'd just be like, well, I can, what? All of a sudden, out of just reactionary, I would just say something about me or what I could do or da-da-da-da. I remember I went home, and on the drive home, I said to Naomi, I am so disgusted with myself. Why did I see that as a competition? This young buck said something, and I decided to, all right, well, it's a competition now. I remember, I want to tell a really funny story about Isaac McPherson. I guess it's just everybody, I'm dragging everybody into this. It was another time at CCM, and this was before I think he was dating Emma, or it might have been the early days or something, and it was at Isaac's house, and we were in old classic basketball in the driveway. Me and Isaac have had some absolute battles in that driveway. Like, it's just plain fact. We used to play all the time, okay? And so we're playing around. Now, once again, I'm married, old and fat. That's just what happened. And Isaac eternally will be in shape. He eats 3 Big Macs a day, and he's just the way he is. I don't understand, but I'm kind of exaggerating. But I remember we were playing, and I'm not the greatest basketball player, but if there was one thing I'm really good at, it's the guy who chucks up the most ridiculous shot, and it always goes in, okay? I could not look 360 no scope and throw it in. No, I could just literally, it just the dumbest things. And so I remember I was messing around because Isaac was killing me. And you know that whole pride thing, when somebody starts beating you at something, you start acting like you're not trying. So I'm not trying and I'm messing around and I decided to chuck up some ridiculous shot. Well, when I did this, it just so happened that was when Emma was watching. And Isaac's trying to play defense and I chuck up this ridiculous shot and make it. And I remember laughing. Well, I don't remember what was said, but Emma said something. Emma's now his wife, for those that don't know, okay? Emma says something like, oh, look at that, or whatever. And immediately, Isaac, well, you should have seen I scored 3 shots in a row before that. Now, guess what? Isaac is one of the most humble dudes, greatest dudes in the entire world. He was, like I said, the early days of trying to, you know, date Emma. So it was just that moment. It was so funny. I remember standing there like, Isaac, I'm married. Like, we're good, bro. The next time you get the ball, I'll go right, you go right, and we'll pretend like you broke my ankles. Like, whatever to do to gas you in front of this girl. Like, I was ready for that. But he turned immediately. Well, 3 times before that, I totally scored on it. And I was like, it's all funny. I'm not ripping him. I'm not criticizing him. It was hilarious. But that's what comes out of us sometimes. If that stuff is in our heart, well, how does that get in the way of our love for one another? And how we combat this Luke 6:37-38. I'm going to try to get through this because then we got communion coming. It'll be short. Should coming up shortly here. 37. Don't judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Now there's context here, but that's not what the message is about. Understand the judgment is talking about. All right? You might need to look into that. But forgive others and you will be forgiven. That verse is very popular and it's quoted a lot and it's really great. But here we go to the next one. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. You know what I'm talking about? When you got that cup and you're trying to put stuff in it and you shake it a little bit so it sinks down. Shake it a little bit, sinks down. Pressed. Some of you baristas, you know. Running over, overflowing, poured into your lap. Now, here we go. The part that I feel like maybe gets overlooked. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. What we're giving so freely of in our first world free market life, gotta have the nicest car on the block mentality. Well, I gotta take care of all this first, and then I will go and do this. Romans 12:9-13. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. all of these things, counteracting selfishness in us and understanding what that love means. Because remember, the moment we start worrying about reciprocation, the cycle ends. I am no longer doing what I am called to do, and I am ruining my testimony, and I am affecting the community and the church. That's the thing is, you and your decisions and the way you live life by joining together into this family, our stuff impacts the other, whether we want it to or not sometimes. Sometimes it's by involving them, which is not right always in our own sinful or struggle or whatever. Now, I'm not saying you can't share and be accountable for your struggle. I'm saying when you include them in that activity, stumbling block and so on. But when we look at Ephesians 4, verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Continuing on, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. All of these things to counteract this selfishness that is so easy for us, just so that we can love, so we can love the way God loved us. Because when we look at the way God loved us in giving his son, Jesus, that sacrifice, it's like husbands and wives, right? You're called to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Guess what? The only guarantee in that is that you die. Now, Scripture tells us that we are to love our wives and wives are to respect their husbands. Absolutely. But them respecting me, that's not my job. My job as a husband is to love as Christ loved the church. That is to love unconditionally and lay myself down for her. Period. Period. Hard truth. Yes, men in the room, I care about your mental health. Go to God. Find some brothers not to complain to, but to encourage via Scripture and sharpen one another. But I want you to know something. Nowhere in here does it guarantee happy wife, happy life, and da-da-da-da-da. No, it guarantees that if I do what I'm called to do, it is sacrifice. That's what we're called to. In the same way as we love one another in the body of Christ, I'm called to sacrifice. I'm called to sacrifice for you. You're called to sacrifice for me. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. But that scripture that it talks about, where it talks about this in John, it's not talking about a love that is reciprocated. It is talking about God's love that penetrated so deep, regardless of action, regardless of distraction, regardless of struggle, regardless of anything, love. So what does that look like in our church? What does that look like in our life? The people that are up here struggling, you know one of them? You're friends with one of them? I'm here for you. I'm not getting nosy. You could tell me when you want, but I'm here for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. What can I do? Well, I have a tea time today at 2 o'clock. I better make that conversation a text. No. Sacrifice. Your schedule ain't more important. That story I told you about John Manca, that's true. My schedule that day was more important. He took his own life later that week. He was one of my youth students. Came to camp with us. I prayed with him. I hugged him. I cried with him. I was there for him. Now, it's not all on me. He had his own struggles. He had his own battles. He had his own decisions. He had his own thing. I'm not putting that all on me. But I'll tell you what. In and out of season. Not distracted. loving unconditionally. And that day, I failed. That's a true thing. And some of you might be struggling mentally with, well, that's a really high expectation. Guess what? This is all a high expectation. What are you talking about? Your problem is you don't know how to handle failure. And the way we're instructed to handle failure, grace, love, mercy. It's okay to fail. But I don't try to fail. I don't plan to fail. But I will. But my God has an unending amount of grace. So the next time you think the expectations are too high for loving one another, we're going to get ready to take communion. Chelsea, you want to come? Because as we do this, and it ties in with the message, this is the way God loved us. Communion is a demonstration of that. He instructs us to do this until he returns. His body broken, his blood poured out. There's an interesting quote from an old philosopher that talks about the difficulty of a task. And he talks about the ability to accomplish that task. Usually, majority of the time, is in your head. Because what a man will do for his country, if you're called upon, what you would do for your country, put yourself through and go through, and you do it. Thank you for that. But you do it. But then when we're doing it for ourselves, it's a little harder to do. It's the same task, though. The difference is here. The way you view it. And so that shift in perspective, a task to love one another. If there's selfish ambition in your heart, you won't be able to do it. But if it is selfless and the Holy Spirit resides in you and you accept God's love, and that is what is in you, you can do it. Because when is the last time you broke your body for a friend? Now, you might think that sounds crazy. Well, I mean, help somebody move sometime. Like, guaranteed. Some of us in here, the young at heart, that first couch might be all you get done that day. When's the last time you put yourself on the line for a friend? For a brother or sister in Christ? Brother or sister in Christ offends you, and you're justified by a worldly standard to persecute, to say something, to do something, you owe me. Make allowances for each other's mistakes. Because remember, what you give, you'll get exactly.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.